We're excited to have you tonight here on April 14th as we work together in Scripture and allow it to kind of tell us a new way to walk with God and open our hearts and even convict us from time to time. My name is Don Hanshew. I'm one of the pastors at Dublin United Methodist Church, and I'm here with
Sarah Jane Nixon. I'm the pastor at New Dublin Presbyterian Church. The names are so similar, you know, we trip up sometimes.
That's so funny. Well, why don't you lead us in prayer? That'll give us some
Absolutely.
Clarifying help.
Let's pray. Lord, as we virtually gather tonight to listen to your word, we ask that everything that gets in the way, our pride or our distractions or our busyness, would be stilled and quieted so that we can hear your still small voice. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. We're going to jump right into Scripture and allow you to hear this, to understand the story. But let me kind of summarize what's happening before I read. We're in Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through about 27. What's going on is remember that in Jesus' time, you had people who were religious leaders, and they also meant that they were kind of legal leaders as well, because the law of Moses really meant that it was the law. People lived by that law. And you had different groups that were very, like political parties, like Republicans and Democrats or Libertarians or whatever. You have folks that had very strong interpretations of Scripture, and then they obviously allowed that to influence how they lived, governed, and otherwise. And people in those groups were kind of jockeying for power in Jerusalem and in the temple, and that was always kind of the tension there. There was a group, you've heard of the Pharisees perhaps, and the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection of the dead and believed that the way to get to heaven was holding all those laws, doing them perfectly. Another group called the Sadducees, and they did not believe in a resurrection of the dead, but they were similar to the Pharisees in how laws were important to them, and you had to follow the laws. So here enters this story. Jesus, hanging out with some disciples, some Sadducee leaders have kind of worked it out in the back room. We know how to trap Jesus. Because there was this law that if you were married to a woman and she died, or you died as a husband, then as a brother to the person who died, you had to marry her so that you could keep her out of prostitution. It helped her kids and family, you know, be safe. It was a lot of kind of social security built into that. So, you know, that was kind of like women were property almost. So if you died, then your brother would marry her and take her into his family. Well, they came up with this really funny story about, well, what happened if a guy, you know, had six other brothers and all seven of them ended up marrying her and died, and then she finally goes to heaven, which one is going to be her husband? So, this is Jesus' answer. It's a pretty funny story, actually. Jesus said to them, verse 24 of Mark 12, "Is not this the reason you are wrong?" I mean, what an opening line to some people. That you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. I mean, he's talking to like people who not just know the Scripture. This is how they I'm going to make their living. I mean, this is all of it. "For when they rise from the dead," the brothers, "they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses and the story about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is God not of the dead, but God of the living.' You are quite wrong." Ouch. And it's a great story. I mean, Jesus is pointing them out and how they're wrong in multiple different ways. One is that, you know, the resurrection of the dead actually is a real thing, and that you've totally missed the point of Scripture. Sarah Jane's got a funny story about that.
Yeah, because isn't it true, especially, you know, those of us who fancy that we're, you know, mature Christians who know lots of things about the Bible, that we get real sidetracked into things that really just miss the point, you know, like this story, this weird side case that probably never happened and never will happen. I was in high school, senior in high school, and as you are, everybody is obsessed with what college you're going to go to, and I had a friend who wanted to go to this Bible college, and you had to sign off on this long list of doctrinal truths. I'm going to put a truth in quote here. Anyway, things that you had to agree with about the Bible. And she wanted me to read it and tell her what I thought. And about three quarters of the way through this thing, it said that you had to agree as of vital importance that when Jesus judged the living and the dead, he would do it from a red throne. And when he reigned, he would do it from a white throne. And you know, I laugh at that because it is obviously ridiculous, but it's the case, I think, that we tend to build up these weird fringe cases and act as if the answer to that has to be the answer to everything else and miss the freeing point of the gospel.
Yeah, it's like we can get so tied up of being right mm-hmm. in our argument that we have it completely wrong with how to live into the gospel.
It builds up our egos.
Yeah, it's pride. Pride mm-hmm. is such a deadly sin that we all have, we all struggle mm-hmm. with. But we've probably all been, you've been on the side of a heated argument where you said the right words and won the argument. Mm-hmm. And you've been on that side of an argument where you were very heated, thought you were 100% right, and then someone can say something, you realize, no, actually you had a wrong perspective on it and you were wrong. Sometimes in that argument, regardless of which side you're on, you don't really admit that you're wrong or you gloat that you're right. Mm-hmm. And the point here is that, and like in the story that Sarah Jane just shared, it doesn't matter the color of the throne. It matters who's on the throne. I mean, that's the good news. And it doesn't matter who's right, who's married, or what when you get to heaven. It matters that when we get to heaven, you know, we're in heaven. I mean, the good news is that all those brothers and the lady all are in heaven. And we forget the power of the gospel, you know, and we get confused about what's most important. So here's the challenge for us tonight. A lot of us, sometimes because we are a Christian and we have principles as a Christian, we may want to distance ourselves from other folks who we don't think have the same principles as us. Whereas I wonder if God has actually called us to be in love with principles first, or should we be in love with people first? And I think we know the answer to that. But how in your own life, in a real honest way, how is it that you can learn to love people first and then allow God to show you what principles you can guide them to, live with them in, and help them see in you by how you live a life of love. We're glad to have you here tonight, and I pray we would all be witnesses to the good news of God and not be focused on winning arguments. You want to close this in prayer?
Absolutely. Lord God, we are all prone to prioritizing our pride and our sense of rightness over the people that you love. We ask that you would forgive us for that and that you would strengthen our love so that it becomes stronger than our pride and that we are able to see the people as you see them, hear the good news as you intended for it to be heard, and to not use people or the gospel as an opportunity to build ourselves up. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Amen.
Look forward to seeing you. Take care.